In Revelation, you know, as you turn to the book, that there are some purposes of the book that we look at each week to remind us of why this is in our Bibles. And of course, we know that with the times of persecution that believers were enduring, it served as a great encouragement. It also, of course, shows us God is in charge, is in control, and there's nothing that will happen on this earth that's going to escape His notice or His care. It doesn't matter where you've been in life, how high you've been, how low you've been, nothing changes the fact that God is good, and that's His nature. So He's in charge, He's in control. And where I want you to put in today is going to be in chapter 18. We started into chapter 18 last week, and we're going to start, kind of jump back in today. I won't get through quite as much as I was wanting, but it'll be okay. And as we turn to this chapter, we're focusing a lot on this word called Babylon, this concept called Babylon. So let me give you again the definition for this. Babylon, I don't think, is a literal city in the book of Revelation. It may end up being that way, but really what it does is symbolize a society, a culture, a religious system, a political system that is completely in rebellion against God. That really is Babylon, right? This whole concept of being in rebellion against God. And what we saw in chapter 17, and now going into chapter 18, is you kind of see that in chapter 17, it focuses more on Babylon as a religious entity, okay? Anti-God, anti-Christian way of I'm going to say, of worshiping or dealing with like your religious instincts, if we want to say it that way. And then in chapter 18, it deals more with Babylon as more of a political, commercial entity. And really, all of chapter 18 focuses on the fall of Babylon and the destruction of the system that is anti-God in every single way. So if you wanted to title chapter 18, you could even entitle this Goodbye to Babylon. Okay, I said that last week. Good sermon title for chapter 18 is Goodbye Babylon. That's what we've been waiting for as you get near the end of time. So, last week, verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 8. We'll probably only get through two or three of these, but that's okay. We're going to keep it in the context here. In verse 1, John the Apostle on the island of Patmos, he says, after these things regarding the vision with the harlot and the beast of chapter 17, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven. The angel had great power, and the earth was lightened or illumined with his glory. The angel cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils or demons, and the hold of every foul or unclean spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird, which is really strange, and we're going to look at that in just a minute. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, her immorality. The kings of the earth have committed fornication or acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich or become rich through the abundance of her delicacies or her sensuality. Then John says, I heard another voice from heaven, and that voice said, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven. Her God has remembered her iniquities. And then as John is listening to the angel says, reward Babylon, reward her, even as she has rewarded you. Pay her back, double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double or twice as much. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously or sensuously, in that same degree or so much torment and sorrow give her. For she says in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Now, do you see in these few verses the focus on the destruction of Babylon, the downfall of Babylon? Let me go back and pick up where we left off last week. In verse 1, there is a tremendously powerful angel. We talked about the angel last week, a very unique angel. There's a degree of authority with this angel that other angels in the Bible do not have. And when this angel speaks in verse 2, the Bible says that it was a mighty, mighty voice. This is a voice that is going to give a proclamation that is very welcome in this context. I don't know about you, and I know we're not supposed to. We don't go after vengeance, and vengeance is not ours. I know that. But I'm going to say this. When somebody or something has done you wrong, okay, when you've been treated unfairly, the one thing you want is justice, right? Justice is not yours to obtain. God does it. He sends a vengeance. And now when there is a proclamation that this anti-God system is going down, it is a very welcome announcement. Have you ever received a welcome announcement? I'm sure you have. I know when several of you through the years, when you've gotten through a surgery and doctor comes out and says, hey, everything went well, everything is good, that is a welcome announcement. Wow, when you get maybe a note from the boss or somebody at work and there's going to be a promotion coming your way or commendation or work you've done, that is a welcome announcement. Now, in our lives personally, I was corrected this morning. Did y'all know that time flies? And I didn't realize that now I've been a grandparent for 4 weeks. I thought it only been 3 weeks. I felt it this morning. My wife corrected me. She said, the baby's actually 4 weeks old. I said, no, it's 3 weeks. She said, no, it's 4. And since I've learned that the voice of the Holy Spirit sounds very similar to my wife's voice, I discovered that she was right. No surprise there. And so now for 4 weeks, you know what, about 4 and a half weeks ago, when we got the message that the baby is here, June is here. Y'all, what, can I tell y'all? That was a welcome announcement, right? We all know what it's like to receive a welcome announcement. In the context of judgment, it is going to be an encouragement to people who are beaten down, those who are Christians trying to follow after God in a very pagan society. It is going to be a welcome announcement when the angel cries out. And John says it was a cry with a mighty and strong voice. Now, what did the angel say? The angel said in verse 2, Babylon the great is fallen. And he doubles it up and says, it is fallen. Key word there, it's gone, right? Goodbye to Babylon. Babylon is fallen. Now, there's two things I want to point out about the start of this message. Number one, notice there that the word is used twice, okay? What you find in the Bible is they don't always have what we consider in English as comparatives or superlatives, right? So if I say this ball is bigger, this ball is big, this is bigger, this is the biggest, comparative, superlative. We don't always have that. Hebrew language, Greek language. So oftentimes they would just repeat things for that emphasis. So for the angel to repeat here twice, fallen, yet it is fallen. This is a very decisive act that is going to occur, right? It's emphasis there about the fallen nature and destruction of the system called Babylon. But the second thing I want you to, it's hard to see in English, but when he uses the verb for fallen, is fallen, it is a verb that speaks in the past tense. Say, well, hold on, this ain't happened yet, right? We're talking about Book of Revelation, it's going to be far into the distant future, and yet here the angel is saying, it's almost like it's already happened, right? That is how certain and sure the fall and downfall, destruction of Babylon is going to be. So future action is if it's already happened. Now, the overthrow is going to be decimated. Okay, it's repeated twice here that Babylon is falling. Can I get you thinking about this a couple different ways here? Destruction by the hand of God here is going to be what one commentator calls explosive. You're at the very end of time now, right? God is now dealing with and judging this antichrist, false prophet, this entire system of anti-God, anti-church, antichrist. And one commentator even says, if you could imagine maybe a city of some of sorts, where there's activity and there's trade, there's business and, you know, buildings, people walking on the sidewalks, and in a matter of a literal 60 minutes, it's all turned to ashes. Okay, that's the picture that we're receiving in verse 2. And you know how quickly things can change. In fact, I think it's a good reminder for us as we consider how quickly this is going to happen, that while we live in a society that places high value on human achievement, do you realize how quickly things can change? I mean, do you realize how quickly you can be sitting somewhere and something happened? Do you realize how quickly you can be driving down the road and somebody crosses the lines and forever changes your life? Things can happen quickly, and so we put a lot of value on human achievement, and we're glad that God has given us the ability to do that, but realize things can change very, very quickly. When the angel says it's fallen, fallen, decisive, decimating act. In fact, if you think about what probably most affects us with sudden changes in life is when it deals and concerns our finances. I wasn't there in 1929. Do y'all realize that the great stock market crash in 1929 that really set off the Great Depression, do you realize how close we are to the 100th anniversary of that? 1929, 2029, 3 years. 100 years ago, in just a few years, our nation suffered a crash of what we would consider cataclysmic financial proportions that then caused us to fall headfirst into a time of depression, Great Depression financially. You see, things can change very quickly. And I remember even in recent years, relative recent years, when all of a sudden there'd be some crash of the markets. I remember when COVID hit, and man, the way everything just greatly decreased in value right then. People are scared of a lot of different things. Things can change very, very quickly. And I remember the Sunday, even we were in church, it was in March. We had just gotten back from the men's conference in Lynchburg, I remember. And we had gotten to church that Sunday, and all of a sudden people were like scared, right? I mean, kind of like overnight, because we don't know what to expect, don't know what's going on. We're hearing about some mystery illness. And if I'm not mistaken, that Sunday, I think we had about 15 people that came here to the building. And I changed the sermon that Sunday, went to Joshua chapter 1, I remember, on the spot, and did something different. The point is, things can change very, very quickly. So be careful how you place a lot of emphasis on human achievement, because according to this verse, at the very end of time, this entire world system that's turned against God is going to be destroyed. That's what the angel announces with all the glory and with the authority. It says, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. Is it an actual city? Well, it's hard to tell in the text. It may be more just the system itself, but it could be that Antichrist will have some kind of capital city somewhere for his empire, and it may very well be that way. But what I really want to focus on is the rest of this verse. Because I'm just going to tell you, the rest of this verse, I'm just going to use a Greek word right now. It's strange. I just made that up. This is strange. Listen to this. Listen to this. Babylon has fallen, Babylon the Great, but here's what's now happened. Subsequent to this political downfall, Babylon has become the habitation of demons. It has become the hold or haunt of every unclean spirit, and what really catches, kind of piques my interest at the end of the verse, not only has it become that, it has also become a cage or a haunt of every unclean and hateful bird. Now then, what in the world? John, out on a Patmos, and you're seeing all these visions, and we're talking about seals being broken and trumpets being blown and, you know, large rocks falling from the sky and poisoning waters. And now you're talking about a city becoming a place where there's a bunch of birds. That's strange. All right, got to unpack. Look at two things he does. Number one, he shows here the condition of Babylon after its fall. And I want you to notice how he words this, because it really stands out this way as one person has said. The judgment will be so climactic. Now listen to this and watch this. Nothing good and nothing human can remain. You catch that in that verse right there? There's nothing good and nothing human that will remain when God judges this anti-God system. And here's what John says. it now becomes a habitation, a dwelling place of demons. This whole system now, whether it's a literal city or not, but this entire system becomes now a place that is consumed with demonic activity. Second thing he says, not only does it become a habitation, a dwelling place of demons, it also becomes a hold or haunt of every foul or unclean spirit. Now let me throw out a principle right now. I think we often forget that wickedness and evil is truly demonic. Now I'll tell you why I say that. I'm a simple person. And I like things simple. And so in the Bible, I think it's 1 John, he says this. Every person you meet is either a child of God or a child of the devil. We don't think about it that way, but that's what John says. I mean, that's what he said. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. Now, some take their devilish ways to an extreme, and you're like, that's definitely a child of the devil right there. I can see that. But listen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, who is your Father? So if your Father is not God, it's Satan, you're a child of the devil. Let me tell you why I say that. That means everything that happens in this life on this earth is either an act of the divine or an act of the demonic. So that changes everything. When I see somebody who commits murder, when I see somebody who steals from the store. In fact, we saw this about, it was 2 or 3 months ago. You see this stuff in the news. You're like, does this really happen? And we're at Walmart. I mean, that's the best place to heaven sometimes, I guess. And we're at Walmart, and sure enough, this little kid is like running down in the middle of the aisle pushing a bicycle. I'm like, well, he's excited about his bicycle. And then I realized there was another younger kid that dumped his bike further down the aisle. He took off running after the bigger kid. And they're going to make a run. They're going to make a clean break here, trying to get away with that bicycle. And I still thought, well, they're probably just playing. Until I saw the manager come running by with his face red, trying to catch him. I thought, ooh, crime scene. Put up the yellow tape. Okay, now watch this. I didn't think about it this way, but listen to this. Every act is either an act of the divine or an act of the demonic. Here's what happens. All the wickedness and all the evil that we find in Babylon, the Bible says here, it becomes a dwelling place of demons. Everything in our world that we choose to do or not to do, it's either done as an act following after the divine God or an act following after the devil. Okay? So when John sees and receives a message from the angel that this great anti-God city, this concept, is fallen, but what it has now become is actually a habitation, a dwelling place of demons. Now, not only that, he says it's also here a hold or haunt of every unclean spirit. The word haunt there means a prison. Okay, it was believed that basically there's a prison for the netherworld, okay, a prison for the demonic. And what the angel says is this system, anti-God system, it becomes the dwelling place, becomes the prison now for these demonic spirits. And if you want to think about it this way, because he does reference birds at the end, you can almost think about it too, not only a prison, but the word was also used as a watchtower. It was just the way they used it. Okay, I'm going to go up to the watchtower. I'm going to go up to the haunt, if you will. And can you imagine there in that watchtower? You've got all these demonic beings, and they're just up there watching the destruction of Babylon like birds of prey, just ready to attack. Now, that's interesting because of what he says next, and we're going to finish it with this. It has become dwelling place of demons, hold of every haunt, of every foul, unclean spirit. And then he adds a strange statement. It's also become the cage, or actually the word there is haunt again, of every unclean and hateful bird. Now, isn't that interesting? What do we do with this? Where it talks about a bird, talks about unclean. Number one, there's a metaphor in this imagery that is describing Babylon's devastation and desolation. Let me explain why that's the case. When you see in this verse here, first of all, the word unclean, my little brain goes first of all to the book of Leviticus. Now, I know we don't all memorize and read a lot through Leviticus, but you remember around in chapter 11, I think, where there's a list there of unclean animals. In that list, there's a list of unclean birds. And what's interesting is most of these birds are birds of prey. Okay? Now, what do those birds of prey, what do they look for? What do they seek after? They seek after another word we don't use very often called carrion. All right, what is carrion? It's roadkill. Can I just say it that way? It's just roadkill. Man, have you seen some of that recently? Skunks come back out for February. I've seen some deer recently. Seen squirrels laid out. They ain't doing nothing because they're dead. And you know what? You know who's happy with that? All the buzzards. All the birds of prey. Man, it is like buffet time. They're birds of prey, right? They're unclean animals. Now watch what's happening here. The Bible says that when they go into Babylon, it becomes now a haunt of every unclean and really those kinds of birds you really don't want to see. Now, I don't know about many of y'all. You probably don't, but some of y'all do. Between my house and here to Passapatanzi, sprawling metropolis of Passapatanzi, I take a road called Bloomsbury Road. And it goes by something called, this is the greatest highlight of King George County. It's called the landfill. It put us on the map. It did. I love it. You know, one time we were driving down Bloomsbury, I saw plastic bags hanging off the trees. There's all kinds of decorations out there. I thought, man, you need to come to King George County to see our decorations at the landfill hanging off the trees. But you know what else happens sometimes, man? You drive through there, and yeah, you'll see an eagle every now and then. It's kind of neat and majestic. But you look up there, and sometimes you see all them vultures and buzzards. And like, it just don't feel real good, right? Like, I don't want to walk underneath them things. What if they start attacking me and drag me off somewhere? They can do it, I think. Nobody wants to deal with that. But watch this. In the Old Testament, watch. In the Old Testament, whether it was Babylon or Edom or Nineveh, there are judgments upon these cities. And here's what the Bible says. The judgment was so severe and the cities were so desolate that even the animals moved in and nobody ran them away. You see what's happening here? Babylon's going down to such an extent. Now watch this. The wild desert is moving in. Have you ever seen that before? Where you go by like a dilapidated building, you might find, you know, it might be like an old, old house, and you see that the roof is kind of caving in some. You see that the front steps are broken, and you know, they've kind of separated there, and maybe cracks in the foundation, the windows are broken out. You're like, man, that place is really run down, ain't it? But can I tell you what really changes it for me? What changes it for me is I see animals crawling around on the inside. Because that is a symbol of desolation. Now look, this is what is happening to Babylon. How bad is it? It's so bad that now when you drive by, you look up there and there's vultures that are there in the towers looking over the city that's being destroyed. You walk there near the building and there was all kinds of animals that are scrambling, running out because now they have taken a residence in this place. They used to be a beaming and gleaming city. That's how extensive the judgment is. So, it has become a habitation of demons, a haunt of every unclean spirit, and it's so bad that even the unclean, hateful birds, those animals, begin to roam. Now, can you imagine, just real quick before we go, can you imagine, just kind of give you an idea of what this could be like? Imagine driving through our Central Park shopping area. And all of those restaurants out there and stores and shops and Verizon stores. And man, there's all kinds of stuff out there. Get them little bunt cakes of that little place out there. And you got your steakhouses out there. And yeah, I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff out there. Now, can you imagine? Just think about this devastation. Within an hour or two, some kind of attack and completely demolishes it. But let's just say after a period of time, you drive back through there. It's not only devastated and desolate, all the animals that didn't used to be in the city, now they'd have moved in and taken up residence. I mean, that's the picture here of how desolate the destruction is of Babylon. And that is why the angel says to John, with all his authority, Babylon is fallen, and this is what it has become. Now, we are going to stop with that. I know we didn't get through as much as I was planning today, just the circumstances, but it gives you an idea that the entire chapter pertains to judgment. Okay? The entire chapter. We'll pick up with that next week, and then we'll move on. Don't forget, on the 15th, we're going to really focus in on a deacon recognition service that Sunday. It'll be a neat experience for us. So as we bow today, let's bow together as we get ready to close. If there's something on your mind today, heart to pray for, maybe something from the text in a weird, strange way that's kind of struck you, making greater commitments today, or maybe that you're not saved and today's another opportunity to respond to the gospel message that Jesus loves you, He died for you. If you confess your sin, accept Him as your Savior, Bible says you shall be saved. And it may be today that is the decision you need to make, whether it's there in your heart in prayer, here at the altar, bow before Him, or maybe after the service, we can talk more about it. Whatever fits for your circumstances is fine in that regard. But I'm going to be quiet as we close. You pray, you thank, you reflect, and then I'll close this time of prayer, and we'll be on our way for the Sunday afternoon.